This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
So much for tuning in to today's show, where I welcome Andy Chaleff. And Andy is a multiple award-winning author known for his ability to explore the depths of the human experience through captivating storytelling. And his latest book is about human connection and relationships. And today, Andy and I dive into how to build deeper, more meaningful connections. And it was almost like a bit of a therapy session for me and him as well, where at various points we share personal stories that I think will be very helpful for you guys. It was certainly helpful for me, selfishly, to go through an incident that happened between me and another individual. It wasn't in the form of a romantic relationship, but it could be applied to romantic relationships or really any relationship in your life. And Andy talks about being vulnerable and how that can open us up to deeper connections and tools to do that, and apologizing, and then self-love. And he gives some really great tools. I certainly have some homework on how to accept ourselves more and accept our behaviors. And he has a really unique mantra that I know I'm excited to apply to my life. I kind of already have through our conversation that I was doing the mantra with him and in my mind, and it was already helpful. So I think you guys are going to love it. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy today's show. Andy, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Great to be here.
Today, we're going to talk about developing deeper, more meaningful connections. And in the pre-show, we were talking a bit about a distinction between, you know, friendships, coworkers, and romantic relationships. And you said that in your book, you actually don't make a distinction. And I love that. And you know, there's a lot of threads through all relationships. And I shared with you, I think I found in my personal life, developing meaningful, deep connections with my friends and family has been just as fulfilling and newer to me, an important emphasis on that as previous romantic relationships. So can you talk a little bit about that choice to not make the distinction? And I want to dive into the developing deeper connections, not necessarily romantically.
Yeah, well, I'd love to think that every relationship I have is a bit romantic. And in a way, the romance for me is almost when I feel a bit like I'm on the verge of tears, because whatever I'm going to say feels like it's so connected to something important to me. You know, I spent, my background is very much attached, like all of ours, to our history. And my history was having an abusive father who was very verbally abusive. So I spent a good, you know, the majority of my life protecting myself. And I protected myself by not being vulnerable because, you know, it's scary to be vulnerable when you can't trust that the person you're vulnerable with isn't going to meet you there. So the way I learned to protect myself was then obviously not to be vulnerable. That was how I navigated the world. And so when I started to build up a little bit more confidence that I might also get rejected, I might, but the cost of not being vulnerable became too great for me. And I just said, no, I'm not going to show up in the world and not let people know how I'm really feeling. So so that bled into all aspects of my life. And it also meant that way of being defined what environments that I'd flourish in and what environments I'd just not necessarily suit that way of being. So to the question of when I started being more vulnerable, of course, the people who aren't used to it got confused because all of a sudden, like, who are you? What happened to the old one? It was much easier for us to navigate that one than you, maybe on, and for some people. For other people, they were like, wow, finally we get to see you. So my family, you know, I have two brothers that are lawyers, and both of my parents had died in, you know, say 5+ years or so. And working, say, for instance, with family was basically, you know, if I had to give it like an equate it to somebody, it would be like coming out and saying, like, I'm gay. You know, like I'm honestly, this is the real Andy. You know, this is me, you know, like I am like going to be sarcastic. I am going to cry at what might be inappropriate moments. I'm going to laugh at things that you might not think are funny to laugh at, but this is honestly how I am. And I saw in some ways, because, you know, they're very, they're more, I guess I would say more traditional in the way that they would see or experience the world. And I would be sometimes just a little bit out there. I was the black sheep. But in time, they began to feel and understand my way of being. And I feel we got a lot closer because I gave them a chance to see me finally. And that's how I see that relationship flourished. It's a long answer to the question, but it's fun to answer.
No, it's great. And I love this thread because you touched on a couple things. One, this transformation in yourself, and I want to talk about that. And I love how you said you think of all of your relationships as a bit romantic. And personally, in the last couple of years, I made a very intentional choice to try to develop more meaningful connections with friends and family, because I felt that was lacking. And I felt that most of my adult life, I had put so much focus on my romantic relationship. And we talk a lot about that on this show in tools, communication, and the bedroom, you name it. But I found that the more I've been able to develop those friendships in meaningful ones, the less pressure it's put on my romantic relationship when I'm in partnership. Right now I'm single, and when I'm single as well, because I don't feel as much of a need for connection that I was mostly getting out of my romantic sexual partner, which is fine. But when that's the only source of that energy, which we need as a human, then it's a lot of pressure on there. And it's really beautiful the way you describe being more vulnerable with your family. And I just want to encourage our listeners, and I want to go through the specifics of your story to pull back and to think about all the relationships in your life and how can you improve them, whether that's being more vulnerable, starting with being more vulnerable with your romantic sexual partner, or maybe even better is with your closest friends. And can you talk about the steps that you took to become more vulnerable and open up, or that, and also like that realization of like, hey, I haven't really been myself?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always steps we make, right? There's a realization. I think some of the best realization is like if we've had 4 or 5 bad relationships, then you say, well, the only thing consistent in all those relationships was me, right? That's sort of like a basis of like, well, okay, maybe I should be thinking about how I'm showing up in relationship to others. So that was maybe an early, say that happened maybe 15, 20 years for me. It was like, okay, Andy, you got to do some work here. And I think as you do the work and, you know, you're peeling away every layer of the onion, you know, you're also peeling away parts of ego, because there's things I don't want to be seen a certain way. I don't want to accept that that's also me. And so it's funny, if I narrate my life a bit, I've written 3 books, now 4th that's going to also come out. But the first book was my spiritual memoir called The Last Letter. And it was really about how I like saw each of the identities of myself shape and then how it disappeared or died, because an identity loss or a losing of it. It feels like a death. So in a way, to start to feel like you can be vulnerable, actually, you are easier when you're not protecting part of you. Because I can, if I'm worried that you're going to attack me on any level, then it's going to be harder for me to be vulnerable. So the only way, not the only way, let's say, but the way in which it's easier is I'm like, wow, I'm okay with whatever happens because I've made peace with everything in myself. So I can say I love you with all comfort because I've dealt with all this stuff. That's, well, what if he takes it the wrong way? What if he attaches to me? What, you know, like all these things that are pointed at my own identity. And so that first book was really a beautiful way to, in writing about all those things I didn't even want in the public domain. I mean, I just said, you're going to know everything because I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And that was the last letter. And then after that, I wrote the next book, which goes a little bit to that next step, which was about radical self-love. And I took a trip across America for 3 months, and I sat with 60 groups. Even saying it makes me want to throw up. Like, I mean, just from the exhaustion of it. But I asked groups to write a letter to a loved one as if it would be the last letter they'd ever send them. And I did that 60 times back to back, just driving from Los Angeles to Miami across the just one session, next session. And the thing I promised myself is that I would never step away from the emotions that I suppressed 30 years earlier. Because my mom died. She was killed by a drunk driver when I was 18. And that single moment was when I really had to push down my emotions to survive. So it really said, at 30 years later, I'm going to use this opportunity to not step away from the pain. And the pain is, if you're in front of a group of 30 people, you tell the story and you cry, societally, we're like, you're not supposed to do that. You're just not supposed to do that. And so what I swore or said, I said, the one thing I'm not going to do, it's been me 30 years to get here. I am not going to step away from the pain. So I cried even now as I talk about it, I could cry because it came so much emotion from that trip still I can feel inside of me. So that was a dedication to that.
It's amazing how much energy is freed up when we stop trying to be something. It's kind of what I hear. And even if it's stop trying to be strong and not cry, like that takes a lot of energy. And there's reasons that we do it. But when you start to let those things go and be more vulnerable, it's scary at first, obviously. But then one, it's like more loving towards ourselves. We're allowing ourselves to feel, and it allows others to relate more authentically with us because we're showing up as our full self. And we put up all these walls and we have certain identities for so many different reasons. And what's interesting is when we start to realize, like, because we can go through years and years and just wearing this mask and not even, it's just so much a part of us that it's all we know, and we move that way. And that's why I love conversations like this and people sharing stories like you are, because it's valuable to have that reminder to look at ourselves and go, all right, well, what am I doing here? And why do I feel that way? Oh, I'm scared of being vulnerable. I'm scared they'll say no. And when we start to remove that and live more courageously, authentically, it's really fulfilling. And we have more meaningful connections. And just this week, I'm thinking of an instance where I have two really close guy friends, and they're by far my closest friends. One moved away and he reached out with a video just saying how much he missed us. And it was super vulnerable and beautiful. And we're pretty open with each other like that. And it opened up this dialogue because he was hurt about something, and it was very vulnerable and courageous of him to do that. And then what that allowed me to do is I was kind of holding on to some things in relation to he and I's relationship because he moved away and I had a bit of resentment. But that kind of like allowed me to go, I'm going to share, and not to as a counterpoint, but because he opened up this door of vulnerability and it was inspiring and felt safe. I think especially as men, we can suppress our emotions. Anyone can do that. And then it just kind of like unlocked this tension in my heart. And we haven't even, we're going to circle up tomorrow and have a Zoom and all talk. But imagine all the connections we have in our history. And if each time we're kind of putting up little walls or we're saying, oh no, we can't cry as it relates to that. Like it builds up. And the more we can, you use that metaphor of peeling the layers back, the more we can do that and just show up as who we are, it's going to be easier on us. And we're going to have more meaningful connections for reasons like I just described, because people will then go, that will hopefully allow them to open up.
By the way, it might be also nice to share as I'm listening to you, like we have a short time. And there is one practical tool that I use pretty much throughout my life and in everything I do. And it would maybe be nice to leave that with listeners, because it's a tool I write extensively about in the second book that I wrote, The Wounded Healer. And it's called A Journey in Radical Self-Love. The tool is I basically interacted with, say, call it 10 different archetypes. And I asked them to say the thing that they were struggling to share most or acknowledge in themselves and follow it with, and it's effing great. And so, and the idea is that as you can imagine, whatever you resist persists. Whatever you cannot make peace with in yourself never goes away. So the hardest thing is to make it so that thought does not influence in you anymore. It does not. And so it's a counterintuitive a lot, because people would say, well, you know, like, let's take the harshest of examples. I was molested by my father and it's effing great. And then you can hear the listeners screaming, it's not effing. You can't say that. You can't. And you don't say it because you want to elevate it and make it great. You say it because in allowing your brain not to get fixated on how horrible it was, you come back to equilibrium. And I'm just present again. I'm not being pulled away, because the thought that then pulls me away from being present with you means I lose connection from first myself and then from you. So a humor is, if you say anything to me and I can't say, you know what, I am that and it's effing great. You know, Andy, you're self-absorbed. I am that. I'm self-absorbed and it's effing great. You know, your father never loved you. My father never loved me and it's effing great. Like, so the harsher it is, it sounds sort of rough to listen to at times, because people are just like, oh, this sounds horrible. And you're not saying it to make it true. You're saying it to feel a deeper truth underneath it all, where you kind of half laugh, half cry. And then you're just present again. And in my life is just staying in this moment of being with you. And if I'm not with you because you say one thing and then my brain pulls me away from our connection, that's just a real miss of an opportunity. And what you'll find in relationship is that once a person is triggered, then they've left the relationship and then they blame the other person for it, which is just the most absurd. It's like my trigger that you've created, I blame you for, although it was always my responsibility. And it just pains me to see how much we blame others for those triggers. And the way I see us, the way I've learned to navigate, and the way I mentor, and the way, basically, if I work with someone, I tease them for a year. I find their weakest point and I just drill it over and over and over. And what happens is the people know what I'm doing, but they can't help the trigger. And then the trigger comes up, they start to smile and like, oh, wow, I feel it now. Okay, now what's going on? And then of course, we don't stay in the triggered state. We go into the seer and we say, hey, so what's going on? How are you feeling? Ah, this came up. This is what I'm feeling. And then we're no longer a byproduct of our environment. You know, I can't. It's not like I'm going to be fine as long as I'm in a group that I'm comfortable with. But you put me in a group I'm not comfortable with, then all of a sudden I'm not fine anymore. And my life is like, how far can we create space where everyone's welcomed in our lives and we're always present to what's going on in the moment, because we're not being pulled away because of our prior thoughts or fears or doubts or whatever. So that's a nice tool.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach, integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you.
I love that. I love actionable tools. And how did you come up with that saying in particular of, and it's effing great, and just the whole idea to say that, to release the power of it?
There was a wonderful individual who came into my life about a decade ago. His name is Peter Koenig. And Peter Koenig, he's been researching money. So this was a derivative of what he calls the money work. And the money work is basically, it's similar to what I said, but a little bit more specific to money, because money is what individuals project onto. So if I project security onto money, what I'm actually unknowingly saying is I am insecure without money. I don't know I've said it, but I have. So if you say, what's money to you? You'd say, money's security. So what you've actually said unknowingly is I am insecure without money. So you've taken money and you've taken your security and you've put it into money. And now you can imagine what happens is now somebody with that mindset, what is their relationship with money going to be? So the way that you'd reclaim the relationship is to say, I am insecure without money and it's okay. You actually, you take fully, and then you take the, it's like the polarity. You say, I am insecure without money and it's okay. Like, instead of fighting against it, I'm just going to make peace with that. And then I'm secure whether I have money or not. So you play both polarities. You don't just stay with the one. So what you're basically saying is, I make money a net neutral in my life regarding security, because I've taken it and made peace with the fact that I'm insecure without money. I've made peace with the fact that I'm secure whether I have money or not. And now again, I'm with you. So now if you said to me, Andy, you know what, you know, you're insecure without money, I say, huh? I'm out insecure. I have nothing to defend there. Yeah. So that's that. And I took this work and said, you know what? I love the work around money. I also see the possibility that I'm using it for my relationships, because I see I project not on only onto money, I project onto the relationship with my father or the relationship with my mother and so on and so forth.
You mentioned triggers and taking responsibility for our triggers. And to me, this is such a big thing that has been helpful to me in all kinds of relationships. Of if someone is triggered, if I'm triggered, it's bringing the attention back to me and what's going on within me. Or if someone is upset with me, and this is like the other side of it, I'm a people pleaser. I don't think anyone likes people to be upset with them, but it particularly bothers me. Like people I don't even barely know. And, you know, because I surf every morning, that's my morning routine. And I'm always having these interactions with people in the water. And sometimes, you know, it gets crowded and there's infringements. And if someone seems like they're upset with me, I feel this pain in my heart. But I'm like, wait, that's not about, obviously, I can think about my actions, but whatever they're dealing with, that's about them. And it's such a superpower to be able to do that in partnership with your relationships and then also get curious around it. Can you talk a little bit about what you found maybe with yourself or in your work around that, and maybe some tools to point the finger to look at ourselves when we're triggered?
Yeah, well, a lot of it goes back to what we said. So almost always when the trigger comes up, I'll say, what's the hardest thing for me to say? And if I can't get there, I know I'm just a byproduct of my environment. And if I don't feel tears, I know I'm not there yet. It's gotta be, it's not like a so to keep away from my emotion. If there's a trigger there, there's an underlying belief. There's something deep, deep inside me that I could say, I don't feel seen. I don't feel loved. I don't feel appreciated, you know? And of course, if we allow that voice to be okay, right? I don't feel appreciated by this person. Then all of a sudden, whatever I do after I've made peace with the thought that I'm not being appreciated with them, I'm now going to be in connection with them. Imagine if I don't feel appreciated by you, and then all of a sudden I do a contorted, like, so Chase, you know, I don't know if you really see me. I don't know if you understand what I was going through back then. You can hear the voice, you can sense this sort of person that's half irritated. Take the other side. Chase, yeah. You know, it's funny. I feel uncomfortable and I don't really know how to move through it, but help me understand what did you mean when you said that? So in one version or the other version, you will sense on a very subtle level, either I really want to know or screw you, and I need to hold you accountable for what I'm feeling. And the only way I know to get to this softer version is to make peace with the thought or the interpretation I made, so it doesn't bleed into our interactions.
I love that. And I love that. What's the hardest thing I could say? Of like, I feel hurt if I'm not loved by this person, and that's okay. And it's such a beautiful practice. I'm just thinking of this morning that I had an instance where, again, I'll go to the surf, but it was someone that I've had lots of interactions with over the years, and there's a tension between us, and I feel like he's got an issue with me, and I don't know what it is, but it's been a thing. And we actually got out of the water at the same time and we're passing, and I'm like, you know what? I want to try to like be a positive force in the world. And I just walked up and I said, hey, there's a tension between us and I don't want to have that. So I just want to let you know that whatever's there, like, we don't have to figure it out. But it was basically like me saying, it's okay, I'm cool. But I noticed in me that it was like, he wasn't quite there. And I wanted to like change his mind or like, And it was interesting because he kind of dug in. I think he was receptive to it, but he was more along the lines of like, yeah, there's tension and this is why. And he gave me these reasons of surf related. I won't bore you with it. Like over years and in retrospect, I'm thinking like, that's about him. Clearly, this dude is holding on to something that's a year old. And then I notice in me, like I'm trying to win him over. But it's like, that's his journey and that's okay. And that's what I needed to remind myself.
Yeah. But let's take a step back in that interaction, right? I mean, let's agree that however you interacted, I would have used different wording, by the way, because even like adding tension almost adds tension. I'd say, you know, I would have been more like, hey, I want to make sure things are good. Is there anything or, you know, was there any way in which I can kind of support our contact going forward, or like almost like not introduce anything that wasn't spoken about, but doesn't matter because he interacted with you from some level of trust. So for whatever you created worked. So let's agree on that. Like it worked because the way he interacted with you, he was authentic. And I love when people are pissed with me. It's like the most authentic thing. They trust me enough to vent. I mean, how great is what you created now? Through the venting, the humor is I don't care what they say. I honestly don't care. For the same reasons of what you just shared, it's not about who's right, who's wrong. You might have done something stupid a year ago that you weren't aware of. I mean, who cares? Who effing cares, right? But by creating the space for him to vent and not defending, not saying, hey, you know, you're wrong because I didn't do that. Or just said, oh, yeah, that's terrible. I can understand why you would be pissed at me. I mean, what have you done now? You've just taken all of his energy, just this balloon that built up over 2 years. It's like it fizzles down because he can't be angry at somebody who's being authentically vulnerable with you. You know, it's harder to be. Let's be that. You can be angry at anybody you want, but it's harder. Yeah. It gets harder. So congratulations to you. You did the best. You did the best. I don't see you celebrating enough. I want you to say, damn, I did it. That's exactly the only thing I need. Because if you needed anything more from him, then you were screwed. Because then your happiness is dependent on somebody else. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Yes.
The happiness for me comes from, wow, I'm taking full responsibility in every aspect of my life. And that's when I get to say, I'm proud of who you are, meaning the person I am.
Yes. Yeah.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estro Control. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estro Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estro Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estro Control works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order. Hey, Love Tribe. I just want to ask you a few questions. I want to know why you guys are here. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner? Do you want to feel truly heard? Are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? And let's not forget about the fun. Do you long for those fun, giggly moments at the beginning of your relationship? Over the last decade of hosting this podcast with Chase, these have been our top questions. And we get it. We've been there. And that's why we created Spark My Relationship course, because we wanted to put the tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. So we're offering this course, Spark My Relationship, for only $100 until April 6th. In less than 90 days, this self-paced course will help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner, all while having fun doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 psychologists and therapists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. This offer is only going to last until Saturday, April 6th. So head on over to our website, sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the code FLASH24 at checkout to get the course for only $100. That's nearly 60% off, and it won't last. The sale ends April 6th. That's sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the code FLASH24 to get our course for only $100.
Thank you. Yeah, I will take that win, or, you know, I will take that. But it is interesting how you're breaking it down. And yeah, like, I could have said a few things differently, and that's okay. And that's great. Yeah. as you're exactly. saying, I want to ask you, how do you work towards getting towards a place where you don't care what they say? Because I know in me, in these instances, because I noticed this morning I got defensive. I went up and he's like, well, this is why, and da 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 da. And I wanted to be like, you know, it's ridiculous. Like, okay, man.
So like, let's go, Chase. So like, I mean, can we go into like a more intimate situation between two of us?
Totally.
Let's not do you. Let's do me. Just because I feel like this permission that I don't want to like overstep any boundaries yet. My dad was utterly verbally abusive, and he also would say over and over again, "You're never going to be enough. You're never going to be enough. You're never going to be enough to me." Right, and in different shapes and forms. I graduated from university, and he said, "You know, that diploma and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee." Like that was the amount of celebration. So regardless of how far I come in my life, there's always going to be an inner child who never feels like he's enough. It doesn't matter how old I get. Like a great example is the last book, The Connection Playbook, right? It did really well. 800 copies in 2 weeks, literary reviews. Kirkus said it was a must read. It was a dream come true on so many levels. And you know what? I just felt like I wanted to cry day after day. I just felt like it was, and I can cry now even, I'd given up on the idea that I was going to be appreciated or recognized. I did it for me. So I'd so far given up on the idea that I'm ever going to be celebrated, because I don't want that to expect it. Because if I expect it and it doesn't happen, then I'm going to be disappointed. So yeah, what do? We just say, it's never going to happen. And that's an easy way to protect ourselves. So now I'm getting praise. And now you'd think you'd be really ecstatically happy about all this. But I just sat with a sadness of, wow, I didn't even realize that I'd given up on it. I didn't realize that. And so what did I have to do? I had to say, Andy, you know, it was a great book and it's okay. You know, you have been doing a great job and it's okay. You know, your dad did appreciate you all those years. You weren't able to see it, and that's okay. You know, and I could go on. He loved the fact that you did a book. You know, even if she threw him under the bus in the book, he'd love the fact that you did it and you succeeded, and that's okay. And that's when I keep connecting deeper and deeper to that underwell of emotion that's always there. So for you, now I've revealed that the question is, where is that for you? And now I feel like I'm more comfortable asking you, because I've done myself.
Oh, I'm happy to share. Yeah, no, as you're saying, it's similar that I have been trying to unpack this feeling of not being enough. A lot of it was wrapped up in perfectionism, in sports, trying to live up to my father's acceptance, you know, and it's all levels. My dad is not a bad guy, but there was a certain level of pressure that I felt. And yeah, and understanding that as an adult and realizing that it is interesting how it's, I won't say always, but it's been there. And this practice of like you're saying is so valuable. And even this morning, as I'm recounting this and thinking I was proud of myself, but then I was like, oh, I got defensive. But if in this moment, like right now, of saying, and that's okay, like Chase, You went up to him and you were open and vulnerable and you didn't do it perfect by the book, and that's okay.
And by the way, I want to go back to that because I'm worried about something. I'm not worried. You actually have the best opportunity to go back to him right now, because the next time you see him, I would go right up to him and say, you know what? I sat with it and actually I never apologized for all the things you said. And I just want you to know I'm really sorry about all of it.
That's a hard one.
But that's it.
I know. So in this particular instance, and again, this is my ego and we can use my example, but how can we do that? Is it necessary for someone who's like on the peripheral of our life? Like,
okay, Chase, I'm smacking you right now.
Tell me.
The only reason why you don't do that is because there's an egoic thing going on.
Totally.
Where you're like, I can't do it. And I would say for that reason and that reason alone, I want you to go up to him and almost kiss his feet and say, oh my God, I am so sorry. Like, actually, I was defending and you had really good point. I just wanted to like protect myself. But honestly, I'm just so sorry. If you can forgive me, I'd appreciate it. If not, I totally understand. Like if that's the level which you can leave your ego at the door, think about the freedom that comes with that.
God. Yeah. No, it's like where you're most triggered or where there's most pain, like that's where you want to look. And as you're saying that and I'm imagining it, I'm like, hell no. Like, this dude does not deserve that. But I'm totally want to work towards my higher self. I'll ask you. So yeah, this morning he did kind of come with his grievances and I said, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry you felt that way. And then I started to defend myself. So your point is taken. What would you tell me or someone listening with their own situation, which is a common one where we think that we're in the right or that we've said what we need to say? How can I come to terms with, I don't say like taking the higher road or work towards that?
Yeah, I don't even want you to think it's the higher road, because that's going to get you stuck again.
I know.
Is that whatever he said to you, he was right. Whatever the hell he said to you, you cut me off. You come late. You act like you own the place.
Yeah.
You know, like all of it, like he gives all of it to you. And then you get to say, oh, I am all those things and it's okay. Now imagine if you made peace with every single accusation. Imagine that. Now you're just present with this guy, like, wow, I'm really sorry you feel that way. That sucks. You know, I'm sorry that I gave you that feeling all these years. That's it. Now, the problem that I see you have is you've gotten stuck in the idea, but he doesn't see, but he doesn't understand, but if he only knew, right? And the humor is that's, again, just your ego fighting for dear life to be seen. And then, of course, it's some manifestation with dad. So this idiot now becomes your father, because now all of a sudden you're like, no, but my dad never saw me. And this guy's got, you know, like, so you're. And so the best part is that guy's giving you the gift of seeing where you haven't made peace within yourself. He's like giving you the greatest gift. And then when you give that the love, it's like the most beautiful moment. It's like, wow, I can finally love that part of me. And if you can love that part of you, you can love your dad. And if you can love your dad, then you can thank this guy for giving you a gift that you never imagined would come from this guy.
Yeah.
And that's just, for me, beauty. That's life, when life gets beautiful.
It is beautiful. And yeah, I appreciate the insight in this example. And it's why I love surfing, actually. It's fun to do, but I'd say it's my greatest teacher, because from a social and psychological standpoint, there's, for me in particular, there's lots of interactions. There's lots of unpacking for me. And it's kind of like this microcosm of like society, but you're forced into this area in the water and you're having all these interactions with some people you know, some you don't, that I wouldn't otherwise have nearly as often. So I recognize that. And yeah, you're totally right. And there is this element of wanting to be liked and wanting to say, oh no, like you think that, but you don't know me. And this is why I do that. And I have had moments in my own head of saying, yeah, I'm aggressive in the water and I like to catch waves and that's okay. Like that's who I am. I want to be also aware of that. And maybe along those lines, where would you tell me or someone listening to think about taking input and loving ourselves and saying that's okay? And then when do we want to think about trying to change a behavior?
So I would, again, kind of going back to, if I've accepted I'm okay with that part of me, that doesn't mean I don't change it. In fact, it's more likely that I change it because I'm no longer defending. Like if you say, stop being that way, I'm not that way, I'm not that. And usually when we say I'm not that way, I'm validating the point the person tried to make to begin with. You know, you're not defensive. What do you mean? You're defensive. I'm not defensive. What are you talking about? It's just the gorgeous humor of life where you're like, so if you say I'm defensive and it's okay, I'm defensive and it's okay. What you've done is, again, you've softened the voice in your head. And now imagine if you feel the defensiveness coming up and you no longer need to be defensive because you've already made peace with that, you're no longer as defensive. So the irony is, by admitting that I'm defensive, making total peace with the fact that I'm defensive, I'll be less defensive.
I love it.
Admitting that you're never going to be appreciated by your father, right? I'm making this stuff up, by the way. Let's just agree. But you're never going to be seen. You're never going to be recognized. You're never going to be. Imagine the next time when you're with him and he dismisses your surfing and says, well, when are you going to do something real with your life and stop spending all the time on the water, whatever the thing is. And then you feel the love and you're like, yeah, Dad, you're right. Yeah, just that's the feeling. And then you move through it so quickly, you're back to just whatever was also there, that no defense.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the stories I related and kind of maybe all my books is, my dad would always call my mom the C word. They got divorced when I was 10 and he was just nasty. You know, I talked about his verbal abuse, but so he would always speak poorly of my mom, who I always like deified. She was like a saint in my head. And so whenever he said your mom was a C, I can guarantee you we wouldn't speak for 5. The max was 10 years because there would be the fight. You know, I wanted defense. She wasn't that. How could you say that? I was very, very defensive of this, you know, this for me, sacred bond with my mother, who was dead. And she's, you know, the saint in my head and so on. So when I went through my own process, right, and made peace with kind of every thought, every idea, you know, I say that, you know, generously, there's always going to be new ideas that come in. But we sat at a park bench. She visited me in Amsterdam after us not speaking for 10 years. And he said, your mom was a real C. You know, that was his thing, you know. And I looked at him, no charge anymore, because there was nothing in me that needed to argue or defend. And I just said, you know, she died, you know, 20 years ago. What's going on? What makes you, you know, keep bringing her up? And he just started to cry. So we went from a fight to like the most intimate connected space, where I had to hug him to mourn what he felt like he wasn't able to like have achieved with my mom, his ex-wife, of course. And the difference was that I didn't need anything from him anymore.
Thank you for sharing that. And that point of curiosity in response is so valuable in these kind of tension built interactions and as an antidote to defensiveness. So Andy, I appreciate you sharing. I appreciate you breaking down my morning interaction. Yeah. I can't wait to apologize to this guy. I say that half-heartedly, but I understand it's that's my work. And yeah, I'm up to the task. So yeah, I really appreciate this conversation. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online, where they can find your new book, and then we'll say goodbye.
Yes. So you can find everything at my name. So www.andychaleff.com. And if you search for The Connection Playbook, that's available everywhere you can get books. And it's really been doing well. So I'm really grateful for that.
Well, we will have those links in our show notes and on our website. And thanks for taking the time to come on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.